So God is so good. Thank you, David. I want to preach about the virgins today. There are five foolish virgins, and there are five wise, prudent virgins. So, that's it. So, anyone want to say a prayer? Which are you, the foolish or the wise? If you have been a sinner in the past, there's no more sin. That would be the wise thing to do, is join God, the Father Almighty, because He can never, ever fail. And since He can never fail, same yesterday, today, forever, and ever. It's not just forever. It's forever and ever. Forever just means this world, as long as time exists. Forever and ever means eternity. So you will never die ever again. Did you hear what I just said? The second death, which is the lake of fire, you will never experience. Never, never, never. Because when He died, you died. When He was buried, you were buried. When He rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. And now you have the first fruits, you have a new heart. You don't have a new soul. You don't have a new walk. How many know there's a lag? There's a gap there between believing in Jesus, chair four, and then having Jesus live inside of you, chair five, where He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You don't do that. You don't justify yourself. You don't sanctify yourself. You don't create yourself. You can't glorify yourself. You can't do anything apart from Him. But in Him, you can do all things. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So you can do good works, only Jesus does them. Yeah. You can do the good works, but soli Deo Gloria, all the glory goes to God. Because Jesus did it. He did it for you, in you, and through you. And so, since Jesus is always for you, He will never, ever, 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 ever take any benefit out of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He won't take any benefit. You get all the blessing. He gets all the burdens. You get all the blessing. He gets all the burdens. That's a trust. That's a spiritual trust where the trustee bears the burden and the beneficiary of the trust has a beneficial title. He gets all the blessings, or she gets all the blessings, or we get all the blessings. So you always have an enemy in any trust. Somebody will come up and resist you. Someone will try to overthrow you, discourage you, and so on and so forth. And there's always a trustor, which is God Himself. There's always then a beneficiary of God, us. We're the ones that get all the blessing. He does that every day. Every day. If He doesn't do it every day, He's a liar. If He doesn't bless you every day, He's a liar. So when you pray for Trump, or when you pray for people, we have some in Dallas that have COVID, he has to answer those prayers. Otherwise, he lied. Because he said he loves us when we have faith in Him. So if you just had faith, and that's perfect faith because Jesus did it, perfect sacrifice, did that. So since that's the case, the blood of Jesus not only gives you four, but it also gives you five, and also gives you six, and also gives you seven, and I'm going to talk about seven today. The bride. The bride is what this whole thing is about. All that Jesus did was come downstairs to meet His bride. And you're already betrothed to Him. You're already betrothed to Him because of your new heart. So He doesn't judge your behavior. Chair one or two. Doesn't judge that. Doesn't judge that. Why? Died for that. When He died, you died. So now you've been crucified with Christ. That's objective, not subjective. You read the law, it's subjective. It prescribes to you what you ought to do. You used to do that, Walter. Yeah. Teresa used to do that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What do we do? What do we do? You don't do anything. You did nothing. Why? Because God is God. If God wasn't God, then you'd have to do something to help Him out. He doesn't want to be repaid for creating you in the first place and then justifying you, sanctifying you, glorifying you. He doesn't want anything for that. Marrying Jesus, getting a crown that doesn't fade, living forever and ever, inheriting God, he inherits you. You don't know anything about any of that. It's all objective from the outside, outer space. In other words, heaven. So everything God has given you is your whole life. Now you have eternal life. What did I do? Nothing. What can I ever do? Nothing. You've always been a nothing, and you'll always be a nothing, even in all eternity. Well, don't I ever get good? Yes, it's derivative, though. It derives from being in relationship with him, not a religion. In religion, you pay him back. We don't have a religion. We have a relationship with the true and living God. It's intimate. God is a person. He's not an abstraction. It's not the force. You know, it's not some kind of nonsense that people make up, because with their reason, they always make up stuff. All the religions are made up by man. All of it, man-made. Anything man-made will perish. So, your job is to not only live this life and laugh, be happy, be a loving person. You don't have to love yourself. Since Jesus loves you, it's perfect. So you don't have to help him out. But in law, you're going to be guilty. If your religion is a law religion, like the Catholics, like the Jewish people, like Muslims, like Hindus, like Buddhists, like Confucianists, all those religions are always man-made, and they perish. They never were in the first place. They were nothing, nothing, nothing. So keep yourself from idols. In other words, don't play God. Don't pretend like you can do a good work because you're God. How many have set out to do a good work and it didn't work? Walter. Also, yeah, it doesn't work. It's amazing. But it takes a long time, like, you know, two or three lifetimes if you had them. But it takes a long time to learn that is whatever I do is worthless. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Isn't that amazing? This is man at his best state. What about the worst? Well, you never left it. You're always in the worst. So you don't have anything to help God out with. You don't have any good works you do. So do you do good works? Yes, you do, but Jesus does them for you. He's like a good parent. He's like a good God. How many know God is good? And since he's good, he doesn't change. He's immutable. Cannot be changed, altered, modified. So God is the only firm thing in this world. But he wants to marry you, get you married to his son. And so for doing that, he has to take you through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so on. I could keep going. So what God wants to do is leave it to him. Let God be God. Because he's really good at being God. Because he is God. And so he created Adam and Eve, Betzalemnu Kedemutnu, Hebrew, after our image. In other words, he'll look like us. We can communicate with him. We can communicate with man. And he knows all the languages of the world. So you can speak any dialect, any language. You can slur. You can be drunk. It doesn't matter. He can understand you. If you just sigh, it's good enough. He says, that guy needs me. That guy needs help. And God is a helper. He's a missionary God. He reaches out to you while you're yet a sinner. So he's not bothered by your sin anymore. Jesus died for that. There's all my sins there up there. There's all my sins. There's probably some on the back. But hidden sins. So he's not worried about sin because he paid for Adam's sin. He paid for everything that you did in your life. He paid for everything. Perfect. He's perfect. Perfect. We're not familiar with perfect, but God is perfect. You don't know until you see him. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appeareth, we shall see him as he is. What is he? King of kings, Lord of lords. He's a king. But he also was, and this proved that he's a good king, he also was righteous. And so when he was baptized by John, he said, do this to fulfill all righteousness. So he was the Lamb of God that takes away, removes the sin of the world. So the whole world has already been forgiven by God. It's already done. It wasn't done on the cross. It was done 6,000 years before that. It's already happened. Not only from the foundation, before the foundation, when he was slain for the sins of the world. And he just said, be patient, wait here. Because a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. You all know that? It says so in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. So it's an established doctrine. One day is like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and so on. So all those days of the week mean something to God. But a day, for us, it's 1,000 years, but for God, it's just one day. So when he says, I'll come back on the third day, that's because when Jesus was born, that was the first day, lasted 1,000, okay? Then a second 1,000. So now we're in the sixth, and then the seventh, we're already in the seventh. So he'll shorten the time. So it won't be 1,000 years. I'm sorry to have to say that. When you read 1,000 years, it doesn't mean 1,000 years, because he shortened the time. Otherwise, you'd be tempted. You would be tempted to go the way of mankind, even Christians, the elect. So he'll shorten it so it could be sooner than you think. All I'm saying is, can't you just with your own eyes, just these eyes and these ears, can't you hear and see things happening today that says, golly, the bad guys are really bad. And the good guys, I don't understand them either. Because people don't understand people, right? Because, you know why? Because you don't understand yourself. If you understood yourself, you'd know that everything you do is sinful. Apart from me, you can do nothing, 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 nothing. So do you want to be a nothing burger? Do you? No. No, of course not. So you don't want to be nothing, but unless you're nothing, you're not you. Because the only thing we have in common is sin. That would, and that's why the other group pretends like, they're just pretending. They pretend like they're righteous, that they're moral. But those are not words in the Bible. You'll never find the word moral in the Bible. You'll never find the word moral, Old Testament, New Testament. You'll never find it. You can look up any concordance, I have them all. You cannot find that word. Because it's man-made. But virtue, spiritual virtue, because you're born of the Spirit, that is what God wants. Arete, A-R-E-T-E. So that word, arete, is a Greek word, which it has so many meanings. But one thing it means is this virtue did not come from earth. It comes from heaven above. So you're virtuous. Say it, I'm virtuous. Are you? No. Not to these eyes, not to your understanding, but to God's word. If he says you're virtuous, then you're virtuous. And he calls all the New Testament saints, saints. And yet they sin. So how can he do that? Well, that's what God wants to do. He says to the sinners at Rome. No, he never said that. To the sinners at, you know, Colossia. He didn't say that. He always calls us saints because in heaven he's already decided this before the foundation of the world, that you would live forever and ever. You would never, ever, ever die, ever, 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 after Melchizedek. After the order of Melchizedek, see, you're already slated. That's objective. You didn't think that up. You didn't guess up, but, oh, I think I know what it is. No, you cannot guess. It's just better than you could ever imagine. You cannot imagine that God has surprises for you and you've only seen just this much. The whole iceberg is underneath it full of blessings. But you only see the peak of it and you realize, I better stay away from that. So you see the peak kind of a giveaway. But steer clean of it because it could be the Titanic thing sinking, which was unsinkable and unthinkable. But it happened. And so God has designed this world not to work without him. God has designed this world not to work without him. So many people today aren't churchgoers. I think Texas has the most, but we're just not churchgoers because they're so sophisticated, so smart, and they watch TV too much and internet, paying attention to all kinds of machines and stuff. You might think they're blessings, but they actually keep you from only having God. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just simply saying be careful. Because everything is today, oh, I hope we find a vaccine. Oh, I hope we find it. Oh, and we're almost there. We're almost there. So on. I don't care about a vaccine. Probably just baking soda would do it. Probably just a pill. Because it's, you know that, you don't know this, so I'll say it to you. COVID-19 kills no one. Do you know that? Okay. Kills no one. You get inflamed. You get inflamed because of it. And then it affects your breathing. So then when your breathing goes, you don't have enough oxygen. And so people with underlying conditions get COVID and they die because of the underlying. They get colds, they get, you know, flu, and so on and so forth. They die of other things. But the government forces them. If you're a doctor, you have to say this death was a COVID death. So it's not 2.5 million or whatever. Whatever they prophesied, it's just, you know, now they say it's about 200,000 and so on. But even that is not, it's probably just the old 70,000 that it always is every year, flu season. And if you just did therapeutics, President, I don't know what he's getting. I know what he thinks he's getting. He's just getting some aspirin, some zinc, some, you know, some things that are just therapeutic. And then it goes away because those things. But I don't know what he's really getting. That particular outfit that he's in has killed a lot of people. You don't know that. But so if I were a Democrat, I would be eager. And a lot of them will be eager to do that, just kill them off. That'd be the end of their problems. They would rule forever and ever. How many know you have a God? And God probably doesn't appreciate that. God is the God of the living. He's the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead. So he doesn't want us to worry, be concerned, be anxious, be nervous, be stressed out, be hysterical. Now, so many people are, and I just want to say to you, I don't care how it's all turned out. You'll find out it's nothing different than any other year. But they locked us down so that then we couldn't have an economy. And so now that's the thing that has to come back. They took the kids out of school so they can't learn, they can't socialize, and so on. So I'm against it. But I don't worry about it. I'm not God. I don't really care about all that stuff. I just say, God, you know, do whatever you're going to do. So I prayed for a young man in Dallas, and he's probably, I don't know, late 20s or something like that, about to get married. And he has COVID. And so I prayed for him. But I believe he'll be all right because of my faith that God is God. Not my faith in myself, my faith that God is God. And so I pray whether it works or not. I just pray because he said, pray. So if you ask and seek and just do whatever God says, it works out. I don't know how it works out. I'm not even curious. Don't even want to know how it works out. Because God hides a lot of things and you don't even know how he hides it. He just put a little seed in the ground and it grows. But I want to talk about these wise virgins and foolish virgins. So let's read 25. Let's read 25. I'd like to read 24 before I read this, but I'll do that another time, maybe tonight. So Matthew 25. All right, there we go. All right, 25. Then, you'd have to read anything before that. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared, you can compare it, to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. We're the bride. Somebody say, we're the bride. You're the bride. You're the bride. How many know that he's not going to put his bride in danger if he's God? If he's God and has all the power and all the wisdom and all the strength and all everything. If that's true and he says he loves you and wants to marry you, you're not going to be in trouble. Remember some years ago I fell off the roof on my head, no hands, no feet, just fell on the 4 inches of cement on the sidewalk, blood all over the place, ribs and blah, blah, blah. So that all that stuff happened to me, but, you know, within a month or so, I'm back to full schedule. And I prayed, I had a wedding at Christmas time at Christ Church over here on the highway. And so I did that thing. You know, I never felt anything. I never do anything because I just blacked out on the roof while they were putting in the roof, and I didn't want the dirt and everything to go down on the, you know, all the beans and everything that I had in there and so on, because I was Y2K, left over from Y2K. So I had all that stuff. I had, you know, tents and, you know, Bunsen burners and all that kind of stuff. Everybody in the church did. I talked everybody into it, you know, just in case the computers, you know, explode or they don't do what they're supposed to do, you know, just get this food. So we got the finest wheat, the finest of everything, put then bay leaves in it and then vacuum and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't want that to get on everything, even though it's no good anymore. And so I'm sweeping it off and all of a sudden I black out. And so I must have stumbled on roofers always peel up the nails on there. Well, there was some nails there, and I probably, I don't know, because I wasn't even conscious. I just flipped over on my head, and Peggy happened to be walking around the house to see how I'm doing, because she knew that morning I was so anxious to get on the roof before they came or as they came that I just wanted to sweep it all off. But I didn't get started because I just was on the garage at that point, and so just dropped off. So when she called me dropped off, she knows she's dead. He's dead. Then she saw the blood coming out of my head and all that kind of stuff, this here, and 19 stitches, and lung was collapsed over here and had to poke a hole and all that stuff like. So, but I didn't feel anything. I didn't even know anything happened. And I just woke up that night, and my daughter was there, and I didn't know, where am I? You're in the hospital. Why? You fell off the roof. I did? And it was close to, I think it was only a couple of days, the 26th of October. So it's the same month now. And she said, and all your friends are here. So we had about 75 people visit. Marshall Bruflot, all these kind of people. They all came there, Robert, everybody. And to pray for me and, you know, to wish me well. But I was in good, because I didn't even know that my head was matted down with blood. I didn't know. And in fact, they never cured that. I just went home that way. Because I said, I don't want medicine. I've never had medicine in my life, ever. Not even an aspirin. Nothing. And so they said, no, you have to have it. You'd be in a lot of pain. Good. Put that down on that little thing you're signing there. The doctor, he doesn't want any medicines at all. He wants the pain. So they wrote it. And the doctors later, 1 week later, they said, you did the right thing. Because when you move, when you're in pain, you know it. So you're not going to move. And so I had them tear out all of the, you know, things, the little bag thing and all that kind of stuff, you know. What do you do to get out of this place? This was just the second day. And so no Vicodin, no, you know, I don't want any of that junk anymore. And what do you get out? Well, you have to walk up and down the hall, and then you have to carry that little thing that you have all your juices in and so on and so forth. Carry that and do it stably. So I said, I'm doing it right now. No, 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 you can't. You can't get out of bed. No, no, get it all out. I don't want to see it anymore. You write everything down. I'm not worried about the doctors. I don't care about them. I have a job to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm a pastor. I knew I had a pastor. I knew I had a pastor's job, so I never worried about it. So another month later, just before Christmas, I did the wedding, Christ Church, so on and so forth. So I have never been sick again. Do you understand? Why? Not because I did anything. I didn't do anything except ordinary stuff like anybody else. But I believe God wanted me to finish the job he told me to do. And why did you tell me to do it if you didn't, if you knew I was going to die the next day or the next week or something like that? If he gives you a job, do it, because it'll keep him busy. You know, so I knew if I do the job, he can't kill me until I'm done with the job that he said I have to do. So he's powerful, so he'll make sure I'm alive. Y'all understand what I just said? Now, I'm a loony person. I don't care about that. I don't care about my reputation. I don't care about anything, because I believe God's good. God is good all the time. So since I believe that, I'm not worried about anything. I knew I have to finish the job God gave me to do. He's my Father in heaven. I'm going to do it. So I'm doing it now, but I haven't done it. How many know that if you don't finish the job, then God, you know, he'd be a liar if I wasn't trusting him, but I still trust him. Will I ever finish this? Because every time you write a sentence, you realize, no, that's no good. So you just keep cleaning it up, cleaning it up, cleaning it up. But then it's getting better. But God, don't let me die now, because I'm not finished with the job you gave me. And so I have a sense of humor, so I just laugh at it. I don't really care. I can die now, because you'll raise up Guy. You'll raise up Walter. You'll raise up somebody else to do my job. Jeff, everybody. I don't care. Larry. So since God is good, I'll never doubt that. Because I had an experience 49 years ago. I've only been here 50 years. 49 years ago, I had an experience right after Christmas, and God said to me, this is what I want you to do. And so I'm doing it. And I don't care about time. I don't care about space. I don't care about anything. I just care about what God said. Man shall not live by bread alone. You do live by some bread. But by every word that constantly is proceeding out of the mouth of God. And worship actually means kissing God with your, this way. In other words, my lips touched his lips without touching them. So it's just kissing with your hand, and you just kiss him that way. That's worship. So they that worship him must worship him in spirit, the Holy Spirit, and in truth, Jesus Christ is the truth. So I do that, and I do it every day. Every day I do it. I did it this morning. I do it every single day. Wake up at 3, 4, 5, whatever. I'll spend at least 4 or 5 hours confessing my sin, laughing, crying. I just want to tell the truth to everybody. So I want to tell you the truth today. You're closer than you think. Now, I'm not saying there isn't a lot of time. This is only the beginning of sorrows. And if you read the 24th verse, you would say, when you see all these things, don't be ever anxious about it. Don't ever worry about anything. It's all working out the way God wants it to work out. But this is not, if this is just the beginning of sorrows, then the end is what you're interested in. When they actually destroy Israel, Israel will be destroyed one more time. But it's not really destroyed as far as God is concerned. It's chastened. The ones that he worships, if he loves you, his love is just like this. Then he'll rebuke you, and then he'll chasten you until all the sin is gone. That's all. That's love. Just like you discipline your kids. Just like you would stand up and see, like Susan did this morning. Just tell about how great God is. Just encourage one another. So I don't like to speak human. I just like to speak God. Right. That's the only thing that works. It's the only thing that works. Still saves people, heals people, blesses people. All right. So then the kingdom of God, call it the kingdom of heaven, same as God, shall be compared to the 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were foolish. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. Taking their lamps, did not take oil with them. So the foolish ones, they didn't say, you know, because it was midnight, it was night, and he just like cries at the last minute. just like God always does everything. Did you ever notice that about God? He's right early, but in his own time schedule. You know, like, no, you just have to wait for this and do this. And so God is not anxious about it because he's smart and he knows everything. So everything's going our way, right? Don't you think everything is going your way? Just like not like that, so I can see that. Everything's going my way. Everything. Glory, glory. So I didn't want it to just be, let the wicked stay wicked. You know, I'm not trying to convert them or anything like that. If they ask me a question, I'll answer it. But I'm not eager to do anything. I like God to do it all. I like the blessing. I don't like the burden. Is anyone else like that? You don't like the burden. You just like the blessing. You know, it's like I was made royal you know, with a silver spoon in my mouth. I wasn't, but it's just like that. So everything's going my way. So everything is going your way, and you can say it because it's objective. It's not anything you thought up. It's in the Bible. Give praise to God every day. Praise God every day. Love God every day. And always say the positive things. Why? Because they're true. God can't lie. Man can lie, but God can't lie. So anyway, five of them were foolish. Those being foolish, taking their lamps, did not take oil with them. In other words, they had a little thing that they didn't need it. But the wise took oil because they didn't know whether Jesus would come, the bridegroom would come, 6 hours away or 1 hour. They didn't know where he was. They just knew he's here. And so somebody told me, he's here, he's coming. And so they had plenty of oil then to last, to endure to the end. It's not he who begins, it he who endures to the end. Did you know that's in the scripture? It's not he who begins. Chair 4. It's not he who begins. You can be born again, but you can still be witchcrafted in chair 4. There are five ways you can miss God. Five ways. None is your conscience. You've heard people say, follow your conscience. Have you ever heard that? It's just follow your conscience. Now, the conscience says this is right or wrong, but what it won't tell you is how many gods there are. What it won't tell you is how many billions of gods or two gods. They don't know. So your conscience won't tell you that. It's just like, you know, a stoplight, you know, stop, go. That's about it. And so your conscience, if you follow the conscience, it may tell you it's right, but it won't tell you how to right in it. It'll not tell you what to do, so it doesn't have any power. You need the Holy Spirit to have power. And you need to be resurrected from the dead. You need all this stuff. So it won't tell you anything like that. So that's a way to miss God. Just follow your conscience. And you know that people who know what's right don't do it. They know it's not right to smoke, yet they smoke. They know it's not right to have opioids, but they do it anyway. People know it. Just knowing something doesn't mean anything. Education is worthless today. It's not telling you, you know, who George Washington is. It doesn't tell you any facts of anything. It's just all made up. And I read all those books. I like to read. But I like to read to see how the enemy is doing. I'll say it again, because all I need is the Bible. I don't really need to read anything else. But there are a few authors out there. There are a few, you know, people that, you know, give you the news. And they tell some of the truth, but not all of it. But they tell you some. But I like to read that because I see exactly where the enemy is. That's where God is not. God is always in control of everything. He's never lost control. He's never given anything to man that wasn't a trust. Psalm 115, verse 16. Psalm 115, verse 16. So everything, because he said, I'll let the civil rulers, the secular rulers, the temporal rulers, I'll let them rule the world. But they did it in a trust. In other words, they owe me because I'll be their judge in the end. And so, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he said these words, all authority in heaven and in earth belongs to me. So now he has all authority in heaven, all authority on earth. He's got it all. So he's the judge, not God the Father, but God the Son. Because God the Son is Son of Man, and his death means you won't. His death means you'll never die. Never, never, never. So you'll die biologically, but you can't die spiritually. Ever. Could you say amen? That's kind of good news. Kind of. A little bit. I think that's a little bit. You cannot die. It's impossible. When God says you're going to live forever, and Jesus said that all the time. If you hear my words and believe what they say, then you have eternal life. He didn't even qualify it. If you don't do this or if you do this, he didn't even qualify it. Because he hadn't paid for all your sins at that point. He hadn't paid for all your sins, but when he paid for all your sins, it says finished. Everything you should have done, I done it. Whatever you should have done, I done it. And so now that I've done it, I did it for you, on your behalf, for your benefit, so that you'd be blessed. How many here are blessed every day? It says so in the Bible. So everything is going your way. There's no way that you could possibly lose when you've already won. If you've already won just by knowing Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, he freely, freely gives you all things for nothing. That's good. I got Jesus, I got everything. I don't even know what it is, but whatever it is, I got it. I married the right guy. And so I'm happy to be a bride. I've never been a bride, but I'll be a bride. I don't have any problem. It just simply means I'll submit to anything that he says right now. I'm a slave right now. I don't have a mind of my own. I don't have a will of my own. I don't have any emotions of my own. I just do what Jesus said. It's easy. I'm dead. Totally dead. And I don't mind it. Do you know that a slave doesn't own any property? But there's two kinds of slaves, involuntary and voluntary. So most of the black people in America, their relatives came over involuntarily. In fact, they had more freedom in their hometown in Africa. But today they'd be Muslim or they'd be Catholic or they would be witchcrafted. So that's really not freedom. So the only reason they came here is to learn about Jesus. Not in a Catholic way where you have to do something. In a Protestant way where you don't do anything. Let God be God. Let God be God. Isn't that exciting? And that's a wise virgin who says, don't touch that. Don't do that. Don't do it. Let God do it. He's perfect. You're not. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. I'll try. I might do a good work. Don't count it, though. I'll put some salt. I'll put some faith in that. And if you just add faith to anything you do, it's acceptable to God. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him who justifies the ungodly. Why would God, being holy, want to justify the ungodly? Because he loves sinners who repent. Chair 3. Repent doesn't mean repent. Doesn't mean at all what people think. Stop doing bad and start doing something good. Nope, doesn't mean that at all. Means the opposite of that. It means comfort yourself. Jesus Christ is coming and he will die for everything that ever you did or didn't do. What was prescribed, he did it. What was proscribed, he didn't do it. So he did everything. So he already lived my life for me, and now all I'm doing is being blessed. What's wrong with that? How many know that's okay? I wasn't made for labor. That's what he said. I didn't say that. He said that. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You'll have Shabbat Shalom. You'll have everything the Jews wanted to do, and they never did it. The Jews were not perfect people. How many know that this good news is so good, you can't even imagine it? You're going to be with God forever and ever and ever, and he's holy. So he'll just then derive from himself, because he's your husband, he'll derive from himself that you are holy even though you're not. That's powerful. So even though you sin, you didn't, because of Jesus' word cleansed you. So I like the way he does it. I like the way he does it because I didn't have to lift a finger. That's really good news to me, guy. I don't know about to you. That's really good news. So here, it goes on like this. But the wise took oil in their vessels. So they had these vessels, five of them, with their lamps. So they had the lamp, and it hadn't gone out yet, because it's going to last 5 or 6 hours. But then, whatever. But the bridegroom delayed. All nodded and slept. And at midnight, a cry occurred, "Behold, the bridegroom comes." So here he is. And so they didn't have to wait that. Maybe they had, 4 hours to meet him. It doesn't matter. Then all those virgins rose up and prepared their lamps, because they had oil with them to, have a little bit. It's like having a second tank in your car. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." The wise answered them, saying, "Too bad for you." No, that's not what they said. "No, lest there be," what? "Not. Lest there be not enough for us and you. Neither go to those who sell." Rather, go to those who sell, buy for yourselves. In other words, Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, you have to get this for yourself. You can't get it for your wife or your husband. So you can't get this for your kids. You can't. You just have to get it and teach them when they're young, you are already part of our family. And so Christians don't do what you just did. That's the way I taught my kids. I never said, "You're bad." I never would say that. Never, ever, ever. I never would downgrade them, because I don't care that they understand right now, because it takes them a while to understand. After a few sins, they'll be guilty. And so I've tried this out many times, and you can find little kids, little bitty kids, they understand that they sinned. I don't know how they do. I just say, "Did anyone here sin?" They won't do anything. But then, pinch your sister. One will raise his hand. Then the other raises their hand. They all raise their hand because they follow the leader. It's like, okay, I guess we sinned. Did you do something wrong? Uh-huh. And they know what sin is just at a little age. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They know that even before they go to school. They already know. I did wrong. Anybody knows. I'll tell you, God has designed you to make sure you know by conscience. Uh-oh, you did wrong. Now, they don't know if this angel is a good angel and this angel is the bad angel. They don't know what about it, but they know there's somebody telling me to do something, and it isn't what mom and dad said. And so they do naughty things, right? But, you just hug them and love them and probably help them to do it and so on, because you're a parent. So parents always kind of, work for their kids to be happy. But some parents don't. They're just not parents at all because they're on dope. They're just socialists or communists or whatever they're doing. They're preoccupied with something other than kids. Well, the kids suffer because of that. Because all they want is not toys. All they want is not go to Six Flags all the time. All they want is you. I'm going to say that again because you didn't probably understand what I just said. They don't want stuff. They want you. And so many parents aren't home enough to take care of them, hug them, love them, and so on. I'm not saying love is everything. I'm just simply saying it's a good thing. And so, but then they need to self-govern. They need this, "Hey, we don't do that. We don't do that." Well, they also need the law. So you need the law and the gospel, the good news and the bad news. So the bad news is you're guilty. The good news is you're pardoned. The good news is you take this two-edged sword up here, and one side of the sword says, read the law, and then now you're guilty. And now you're not innocent anymore. You've lost your innocence. You're no longer, pure. You understand this? Y'all going to experience that in the teen years, in the lower years. You're going to experience that. Now, I didn't do what anyone said. But then after a while you realize that's not God's word. God's word is you just hear my words. So I don't want you to understand it. Just read it. Just hear it. So read it out loud and hear it with your own ears. Out of your mouth, into your ear. Boom, that's it. And Jesus says you're righteous, then you're righteous. If Jesus says you're a saint, you're a saint. If he says you're a sinner, you're a sinner. I'll go along with anything Jesus says, I'll go along with it. I don't even know it. Jesus, that was a good person. That was my cousin. You know, you can't do that. If Jesus says, out, you know, they're out. That's it. So I trust Jesus that he's smarter than I am, stronger than I am, wiser than I am. So these virgins, they had the ability to say, when will he come? I don't know. Well, when you hear the cry, what are you going to do? I don't know. And so they didn't know. So they had the extra oil, which is the Holy Spirit. They had extra Holy Spirit. Did you understand what I just said? So you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father created you. The Son redeemed you and all that kind of stuff. But the Holy Spirit helps you on chair 5 and 6 and 7 and so on so that you actually are able and that you know it inside. I did whatever God said. I didn't understand it. I just did it. I just did it. So, Walter, just say to your wife, I'll love you forever. Amen. So that's powerful. So, Betsy, say, I'm so glad my children are blessed by God. Yeah, and you can say that to your grandchildren, your children. You know, you can say it. Why? Because it's true. Those things come from God. And so God is not mad at anybody. He's never been an angry judge. He's always been a loving father. And then he says, they hated me without a cause. In other words, I loved them. And then they turned from me. Okay. If they turn from you, they'll come back. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. But if you don't do it, and then they can't. They just stay rebels. They just stay, you know, whatever. They get caught up in the world. So love of God is hatred of... If you love this world, you're not going to love God. But if you don't love this God, but if you love God, you then... You don't want to be part of the culture. The culture is always idolatry. 100%. Everything in this culture is not going to bless you. So you can get a new raise. You can get all the money you want and so on and so forth. You'll still be miserable because of the guilt. The guilt always spoils everything. That's why God has everybody owes him something. But you can't pay what you owe. And so then he comes along with Jesus. Forget Moses. Forget all these people. Because in the beginning, all they had is conscience. All they had was reason, natural reason, and conscience, morality. That's all they had. And so they said, the pagans said something like this. Well, I know that what I did was wrong. I shouldn't have yelled. I shouldn't have chopped your head off. But I'll do two good things. I'll go to imam thing and so on and so forth. So they think they can do it because their conscience is assuaged. It isn't. Your conscience is always going to say, you did wrong, you get it wrong, you get it wrong, get it wrong. Okay, I did wrong. What do you do? Well, whatever they're going to tell you is a lie because there's nothing you can do. Jesus Christ reserved that to himself, said, I'll do it all. I'll do everything you ought to do. I'll do it. And he's perfect. So that's a good sub. So he substituted for me. That's called substitutionary atonement. Faith, hope, and love. You see how up here it says faith, hope, and love. That's it. That's it. That's the perfect person right there. You have faith in Jesus. You have the love, even though he's chastening you. You have the love. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Then when you're a perfect person, all you have is love, and faith and hope are gone. You don't need any faith anymore. Because you already know, hey, I'm a lover. That's all God wanted you to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the biggest thing. So that then you can go to heaven and marry Jesus. That's it. The bridegroom wants to marry the bride. So when he came downstairs, he didn't see any non-sinners. He only saw sinners. But God told him, love those sinners. I don't love sin. I love the sinners. Do you understand what I just said? So if I love the sinners, only Jesus can take away the sins of the world. Only. You can't do it. So when you do it, you just deceived yourself. You just lied to yourself. You're self-deceived, then you'll tell your kids to do it. How many know that kids don't want to do what they're supposed to do? You just raise them, and they'll go off in their own way because they want to find themselves. They won't. They won't find themselves unless they bump into a true Christian. Right? And so sometimes they find it apart from you because it's objective. One of their friends who said, I got born again last night. What do you mean? And then they'll tell you, I want that. So that's how kids do it. And so little kids are awesome. I know Robert's little boy, when he was just maybe 2 or 3, something like that, this guy came in and he was a member of the church. And Robert had told him, if you smoke, you're going to hell. I mean, I wouldn't have said that, but he said that. So he said that. And so this guy had cigarettes in his pocket and he said to him, you're going to hell. He just said that. And the guy didn't know what to do. My dad said, if you smoke those things, you're going to hell. That isn't what God said. By the way, it's not what God said. But Robert taught him that so he wouldn't smoke. And so on and so forth. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, he's fine now. But the point is, that little kid noticed that right away. Hey, you're going to hell. And he wouldn't negotiate. There's no way. This soothes me or whatever, you know, whatever people say. How many know people can lie? Yeah. So don't be surprised when you lie. Other people lie too. So behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose up and prepared their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, we still got some yards to go or some fields to go, whatever, lest there be not enough for us and for you. You got to do this on your own. But rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Everyone thinks you're going to be a Christian because your parents were. No. You're going to be a Christian because the pastor said he was. It doesn't matter. You don't borrow this. You have to get on your own. But they, going away to buy, the bridegroom came. And those ready went in with him to the wedding feast. And the door was shut. And afterward, the rest of the virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But answering, he said, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. I'm not on intimate terms with you. Therefore, watch, for you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes. So how many know you don't really know? You don't know shortening. I don't know what shortening even means. I just know it's shorter. Could be a day. It could be, 1,000 years. I don't really know. But since the founding fathers, that is those who were after the first century, the founding fathers, Augustine and all those people, they believed and they all agreed without, and I have all the books. I have read their books. I have all these books. There's lots and lots and lots of them. You have to read them. They all believed the world would only last 7,000 years. Today we're so smart that we, that's not true and so on. Because people like to get away from God. They like to say, they didn't know anything. They were a lot smarter than you were, and they were closer to Jesus than you were. And so I believe since they all said it without exception, and you wouldn't know, and I don't recommend you read all those books, but anyway, you can if you want to. I just like the Bible we have. Just stick with the Bible here. Don't be a scholar or something like that. Because scholarship only brings sorrow. I mean, the more you learn, the more wicked you see you are. I mean, so you don't really need to do that. I already knew that before I was a Christian. I knew that. I was bad. I was not naughty. I did things that my parents didn't know about and so on. But then Jesus visited me. I wouldn't visit me if I were him, but he visited me. And I knew that I knew that I knew that there was a Jesus and the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. I'm following him to the death for me forever. I'll never be me again. Jim disappeared that day. You understand what I'm saying? Now it was Jesus in Jim, Jim in Jesus. That's my new creation. I'm not part of this world. This is not my world. The devil is, he already conquered this world with Adam and Eve. Now he's conquering everybody. And he's so excited, he just has the little Republicans to get rid of in Texas and he'd have the whole United States. Then there'd be no hope anywhere. Nah, that's not even true. Even if the United States disappeared, these Africans, when they read that Bible, they say, it's not in the Bible, I don't believe in it. And the Uganda just said this years ago, no, Trump says that it's not in the Bible, we're not going to have homosexuality here. So they made it a law. You can't be a homosexual. I love that, because they're just black and white. That it's not in the Bible, I'm not doing it. So I can go anywhere all over the world, and I can preach this gospel. People like it because I'm telling the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth. Why? Because that's what they want. They don't want to be lied to. Everything is fictional in this world. Everything. Government is fictional. There is no such thing, we the people, and so on and so forth. You didn't get that from man. That didn't come from reason. That didn't come from the Enlightenment. All of that stuff is man pretending something and then other people pretending like the pretenders aren't pretending. And so you're a slave today. You're a doulos whether you like it or not. You don't have anybody in Congress that you can actually call up and say, I'd like this law passed for me. So how is it that we have to consent? Did you ever think about that? This is not a law if you don't consent. Well, I don't consent for 99% of them. Probably 100, but 99. But we have Trump now. He's ruining everything for them. He's taking all their toys and just giving them back to the people. So he is not a globalist. He doesn't believe in one world, you know, government or nonsense like that. Let everybody take America, be great, and so on and so forth. Well, his message is weird, but I like it. Now, Peggy liked him before I liked him, but I didn't like him. Because I just thought, what could come from a billionaire? What would he know about average people? But anyway, what he's doing is he's ruining the whole, the government is under his hand. It's just ruining everything and giving the money. He has to now give the average person their money back. Did you know that? It's like the children of Israel were in Egypt. They were slaves. But then God says, oh, don't worry about it. Just say, the God of Israel said, let my people go. Then they let him go and then pay him back pay. Now, that's not reparations. It's just simply pay him for the journey. And then on your own, you'll be on your own after that. But God, then, when Jesus was born, they had gold, myrrh. They had incense. They had all this stuff. And wow, that staked them in. They wow, we'll need this, you know, to raise this little boy. So they had to go to Nazareth and so on and so forth. So everything, every detail of your life, God has already thought about it and already decided, let's bless them. Now, it's only the enemy that wants you to have no hope, no faith, no love, no anything. But God wants you to have it. So do you think the world will pass away before those things are true? Never. I tell you, the world will not pass away until God has kept every promise he made. So just knowing God, I don't need to have a rhema out of heaven. Just knowing God, I'd say right now, if I were on the other side, I wouldn't be so confident. I wouldn't be so confident. Why? Because God might have an agenda of his own. Just might. And I didn't say God spoke to me. I'm just simply saying what I know about him. Mm-mm, not going to happen. You're going to win again, and it will be all right, the COVID and all that kind of stuff. Don't worry about it. Just pray for him. That's what you should do. And when you win, don't be gleeful. Ha, ha, ha. You know, don't do that. Don't say, we won, you lost. Don't do that. Just be humble. Love your neighbor. Why? They never heard the truth. They don't hear this truth. Because everybody else is under a law, we're under grace. Hallelujah! I can keep going. I'm just telling you, I'm excited about God, and I love God. And this could be my last day. Car kidding me? I don't care. If you're not afraid to die, then you want to live. I'm not afraid to die. So I can take risks that no one else wants to take. Don't take them. Because if you preach this whole gospel the way it's said, you'd be in trouble. Because people would hate you, despise you. Do you know when you live a godly life, you'll be persecuted. You'll be hated. You'll be despised by people of your own family. So what? Do you fear God or man? By the way, if you fear man, do what they say, you'll never find happiness. I guarantee it. You will not find happiness because when someone's mad at you, leave them be mad. That's their problem. Let them go and find oil for themselves. So these foolish virgins had no hope, and this is what Jesus said to them. He just said this because this he's talking about himself. But the wise answered, there won't be enough for you and us, but rather go to those who sell, buy for yourselves. But they going away to buy, the bridegroom came, those that went in, had the wedding, the feast, drinking the new wine, and the door was shut. And afterward, the rest of the virgins also came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But answering, he said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. He knew them. But what he's saying is, we don't have an intimate relationship. Because of what you did, you showed that you weren't fearful. You didn't have any fear of God. You didn't do what I said. For you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes. So, what I'm saying to you today, go all the way with Jesus. That's all I'm saying. Just so simple. Go all the way with Jesus. Why? I like it. I mean, I love it. I can't believe Jesus was real. But he is. He's real. Larry, he's real for you. Jeff, real for you. Tammy, real for you. Real for you. Everybody here. You wouldn't even be in this church if you were not wanting to hear the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth. So people that hear, you're foolish because people, they don't like all that stuff. So what? Why be a people pleaser? You never can please people anyway. You try to please your father, you'll still be angry. You try to please your mother and so on. So just go and say, hey, Dad, I love you. That's it. That's all they need. You love them while they're sinners, yet sinners. Love people who are flawed because that's all you have. Right? Everybody here. Could anyone here say, I'm perfect, Pastor Jim? Could anyone say that? You can say it by faith, but you can't say it by action. You can't say that because I know you can't be whole until Jesus comes back again. He said that. So when he says it, then you'll have spirit, soul, body, just like Christ. Then you'll be able to marry him. Then it'll last forever and ever, never, 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 never. So the best is yet to come. How many here are ready to go all the way with Jesus, even if you don't mean it? Just say it anyway. Because you don't have to mean it. I mean, that's psychological stuff. It's just your heart. We're talking to your heart. Said, I'm a new creation. Jesus made me that way. I'm not subject to this world. That's why you can pray for people that are sick. Raise them from the dead. Amen? That's why you can just believe that everything's working your way. Everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. You see, that's a Negro spiritual because he had a hard life. But that's Uncle Tom. That's why you should see that movie if you haven't seen it, or documentary. It's good because it shows you how many black people have abandoned their past and are now in the our side. So some say there's 30%. That would be enough to win the whole election. Some say the Hispanics are 60%. I don't care about those words. I'm just simply saying a lot of people are going our way. But they're now waiting for Trump to die or not to die, to be or not to be. And so don't worry about it. You have a God. Is he good or not? I'm not saying he has to save him. I don't care if he saves him or not, because he'll raise up somebody else. Don't worry about a thing. God always has another ace up his sleeve, and he can solve anything. He likes to make the crooked straight. He likes to make things that are dark into light. He likes to have his word work on this earth because it's his world. The devil never inherited the earth. He only inherited the world. Well, the world is under the devil, but I'm not in the world. I'm in heaven. Hallelujah! So I have nothing to lose. I've already won. When Jesus died, I died. When he was born again, I'm born again. When he rose to heaven, I got that too. So Jesus shares everything he has to the bridegroom. He's given me many gifts every day. Golly. So how many here are excited that you came today to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? All you heard was, be a wise virgin. Don't be foolish. Just do whatever Jesus said, do it. Just do it. Don't even think about it. Don't have psychology. Psychology is witchcraft, period. You didn't hear me say it, but I'll say it again. Psychology is witchcraft. You began in the spirit. Now you're ending to perfect yourself in the flesh? Uh-uh. So many Christians are like that. That's called lukewarm. Lukewarm Christians will not go to heaven. I'm sorry. Sorry. They aren't. He said, I spew them out of my mouth. In other words, I have nothing to say to them. I'm not going to pray for the pagan is the same as them. Them is the same as the pagan. But there's more hope in the pagan than there is with the lukewarm, who tries to confuse things and confound things. Just do what the Bible says. It works. So I can do everything. I can do all things that Jesus ever said to do. I can do it, but in faith. But someday, I'll see it. All right, Susan. Exactly.
That's the way God made it.
Totally.
There's different tissues, there's
right.
different organs,
right.
that every one of them
right.
are designed
Amen.
To heal themselves.
Yeah.
And so even to like have those all doctors standing up there and saying, here I am, and he's this and that. I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. God.
Right. Love it.
Mm-hmm. That is medicine, like that you don't need a chemical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an amazing
right.
thing. And it's like people have lost sight. Hey, guess what? You got an immune system.
Amen.
A God-given immune system.
Right.
Did you just forget after breathing your own CO2 for 6 months?
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. But.
Amen. It's good. Anyway, God is great. God is good. Even if you make mistakes, God forgives them. He's not mad at anybody. It's just, are you following him spiritually? You'll get all the physical. You'll get everything. All right. God is good. Anyone else want to testify? You can just make it up.
There's no meeting tonight.
There's no meeting tonight. We have something to do. I can't remember what it is. Whatever it is, it is. Communion. Praise God.